All right. Hey, welcome everybody. This is Vinny. This is Flash and Vinny. We are live now at Real Liberty Media, World Truth. It's Noon Central here in Ozarkia. This is No Time for Rational Thinking, and this is Volume 14, Episode 1 with News. And I have as my guest today from Las Vegas, Antonio Castellan. And we titled this today, "There is No Such Thing as a Bad Question." I met Antonio in Bunkerville. Oh, great. This may be John. We'll go ahead and take this call. Hold on just a minute.
Wow.
Yeah, it's reallibertymedia.com. And that'll take you right there to the site. And there's a player to the right up above. There's a channel guide. You can also click on channel 3 right there, and that will bring you here. You got it? Hey, this is my friend from Vegas, man. He's listening right now. So he will be as soon as he gets here. And Louie, I think, he says he can't open those. So just go back to where he was, Louie, if you hear me. I will pass that. So, hey, this is live radio. There's channel 3 to the right. Can you see a player or anything? How do you like this? This is great, though. This is how we do it. We're connecting voices. We're broadcasting Real Liberty Media for World Truth. And consisting of what matters worldwide. To where you were. And let me, I'm trying to talk in time.
Wow.
This is for you, Louie.
Congrats.
Antonio. So look, come on, can you find it? I think we're all almost ready to set together to the meet. I love it though. Listen, okay, y'all set? Dadgummit, Johnny, go to my Facebook page, dude. There's I will go click Real Liberty Media right there. I'm copying and pasting it. Is what I'm doing. Go to my Facebook and click on that. And what was that noise? Say it again. Yeah, you know. Oh, I'm getting pinged by Barman. I never did hit show now, did I? All right, bye.
Dead air.
No, just not dead. All right,
just
I think
wounded.
We're back on track. I believe that I did not win the show now, so I will do that now.
Wow. I have no idea what you're doing.
Well, my friend,
yes.
We have interaction, and that's what we do. Antonio, let's go back to 2001. You started in media then, and you was in Austin, right?
That's right. It was in Austin, Texas. It was for a 24-hour news channel called News 8 Austin back in the day. It was news 24/7. I was covering Texas politics, Texas storms. You know, we're there in the heart of Texas, so it was quite busy back in those days.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm just about got everything right now, I think. Boom, there's the ding as the one. Okay, good. So, reallibertymedia.com, and we have Antonio Castellan. Now, I think I can get myself where I'm back on track. There's a lot of places that you can find Antonio on Twitter at AntonioNews3LV. Also has a Facebook page, and I sent out some invites there to some folks that I know out in Vegas there on Facebook, and we have a few people that's come over there to say hello. And you can find in my link there on What Matters Worldwide, there's all the places that you can catch up with Antonio with his archives at News 3. And I've got a small little YouTube channel that you have a few things. So you've been down like into Brazil. You know the culture from the Southwest. You've covered stories from both sides of the border. You've been out San Diego, L.A., Las Vegas, McAllen, Austin. As you as you've done stories, you like you said, you're knocking on doors and you're asking people questions and letting people's voices be heard. Can you reflect some of the earlier, perhaps some of your more interesting visits that you've had with some folks along your way?
I think, you know, as you mentioned, I basically started in the Southwest down there in Texas, so I remember interviewing victims of the drug cartel. That kind of stands out with me. You never forget these people who were traumatized with these drug cartel thugs going into their homes and roughing them up. I remember a time where the drug cartel was rampant, which they still are, and they were just shooting up just about anybody who got in their way, and sometimes the innocent people were victims of this drug violence, and it was really sad to talk to, you know, knock on these doors and talk to these people and get their perspective on the loss of their loved ones who didn't have anything to do with drugs or any illegal activities, and here they are mourning the loss of sometimes the breadwinner in the house, so it was really hard to see the pain in these people's faces to deal with something that really jumped on their lap when they didn't expect it.
Have you noticed ever that any of the collaboration from so-called government officials on both sides of the border that actually involve themselves on the other side with the so-called bad guy? Is there have you seen where there's not really a separation between the white hat and the black hat?
That's a good question on collaboration. I remember speaking with a Border Patrol special agent. He was one of those undercover guys that actually infiltrated the drug cartel. So he sort of was a good and a bad guy, if that makes sense. You really didn't know what to think of him, but he was a federal government Border Patrol agent that worked both sides of the line, and his focus was he needed to be bad to find out what the bad people were doing. And at the same time, he says that he was doing the good of the government by protecting us by associating with the bad drug traffickers. He was quite an interesting individual. He never would give up his name or anything like that, but you knew that he was a part of the federal government with what he showed or, you know, how he perceived himself. So there was some sort of collaboration down there that people probably would never think of, but it does happen where the government is working down there on the Mexican-Texas border trying to root out the bad guys, so they say. That's something that will always stick with me also. Good contact.
Almost like a Hollywood script, huh?
Definitely. I mean, this guy, he led me to one of the most baddest drug cartels down in that area of Brownsville. They're called the Zeta Group. These guys are known for beheading beheading people and torturing them in horrible ways. And this guy, he thought it was important that the public finds out about these people and hears from them. He lined up an interview with me with them. I mean, these guys are hitmen, and here's this government agent guy setting this up for us. And,
oh, I did it the wrong way.
And it's hard to believe, but they crossed the border to the United States to do this interview. Unfortunately, for their sake, I guess, after the story aired, they were killed off. Maybe a couple of weeks after that interview that they did, Pedro Garza wasn't too happy with sort of spilling the beans on what the operation's all about. So it was a story that needed to be told, but there was some ramifications on that end.
Wow. Yeah, I guess that's really not surprising. Now, kidnapping has been kind of a way of business down on the other side of the border for a long time, and in not so much recent times, but we've seen that it crossed over the border and saw it, in big cities like Phoenix especially. Can you reflect on when that started, and it came across, and we saw it more and more here?
I think I started noticing the kidnappings more in 2004. I know that in the part of Texas that I was reporting at, it happened on a weekly basis where somebody was getting kidnapped, and it seems like it went up north in 2008. I heard a lot about that happening in San Diego, where someone would be kidnapped on the U.S. side, and they'd be taken to Mexico for a ransom, because that was good business for the drug cartels. They pinpointed the people who they thought had money, and they figured, hey, we kidnap these folks, and we're going to get a good ransom from them, and if not, we'll just kill these people and dispose of them, and, you know, no one will ever hear about it.